example. The variability in our gases we will see particularly in the trace gases, because they're in tiny quantities as opposed to nitrogen, oxygen, which are in such large amounts. So our biology then is involved with the production of oxygen. We've got our basically 21%. Remember, prior to biology getting involved with the photosynthesis process and producing oxygen, this wasn't a planet that was covered in oxygen, so it's biology that's doing this. We can't influence the concentration of oxygen in the atmosphere by saying we've got more plants in this part of the world or less plants. What we can do is we can influence the carbon dioxide concentration. So in this case here, I've got a little plot where we're looking at the concentration of carbon dioxide on this scale over here, 420 down to 300 parts per million. And in green, you can see the carbon dioxide concentration. And this is the diurnal variation. What's happening, it's above a forest system. We're seeing that the concentration is lowest during the middle of the day, and it's highest during the night. So that's saying that the photosynthesis is using the carbon dioxide. That actually lowers the environment around that forest, its carbon dioxide concentration as a trace gas, and then it builds up overnight once photosynthesis is shut down. So we can vary the trace gas concentration, but we certainly can't touch the oxygen concentration. There are also substantial variations in a forest between the values that we'd find on the floor of the forest to the canopy of the forest. The floor is often really quite elevated relative to the canopy, and the canopy will drop very substantially during the daytime, whereas the floor will drop much less significantly. It's due to the mixing between the canopy and that. Even more substantial is in the soil. If you go into the soil and you measure the top part of the soil to down maybe 20 centimetres, then you'll find there's very big difference in the concentration, like hundreds of ppm difference. So Paul Nelson, he's involved in doing that sort of stuff, whereas I'm involved with this sort of stuff. The other sort of gases we find major changes in are methane. So there's a lot of work going on in this at the moment. This is a greenhouse gas. We end up with lots of microbes involved with this. Swamps end up with production of methane, rice paddies production of methane. Ruminants, seen a lot of very funny pictures of cows and sheep with gas masks on and devices for collecting the amount of methane that these things are squirting out in all directions. So there's a lot of interest in this at the moment. The reason is that you're able to change the local environment of the methane concentration if you've got enough biology doing its work. Geochemical sources, we've got sulfur dioxide and hydrochloric acid. The background levels in the atmosphere produced from the sources, which are typically volcanoes. Forest fires, a big deal in this part of the world, big deal in Europe and North America. So they perturb the carbon dioxide and the carbon monoxide budget. You might have been wondering where we get the carbon monoxide from, but I was saying the hydroxyl radical removes. Remember, if you have sufficient oxygen in a fire, you're forming carbon dioxide. If you've got insufficient oxygen, you're forming carbon monoxide. In the oceans, some chemicals that are typically released by Henry's law, you remember there's an exchange between the ocean surface and the atmosphere. So carbon dioxide is a soluble gas, it's going in both directions. Dimethyl sulfide, DMS, so that's a methyl group. There's two of them, so this is dimethyl sulfide. This one here was in the headlines sort of the late 80s, 90s, because they realised that the phytoplankton were involved with this chemical here being released, and it's thought that they're able to control the environment around them. DMS is released as a soluble gas. It exchanges with the atmosphere, and the atmosphere, it's attacked and turned into a low volatility acid that then initiates cloud formation. So they think then that the phytoplankton are able to, under stress conditions, there's too much heating going on, go, right, I'm just going to put a whole lot of clouds above myself. So I'll release a lot of DMS, create a lot of aerosol, that'll form a lot of clouds, that'll cool down the ocean sitting above me. So down around Antarctic, they think there's been a bit of this going on. They're doing quite a lot of work in monitoring DMS and the related acids. Okay, humans, we're not talking too much about the other trace gases, but obviously carbon dioxide is the big one that's in the news all the time, that humans then are a very major source of this CO2, which is perturbing that A that we were talking about before, that size of the reservoir in the atmosphere.